Going. Welcome to our full moon gathering. And today, instead of a full moon, we're talking about the solar eclipse in Virgo. It's a very, very powerful turning point for us, coinciding with a timeline shift. And the first part of this we've already talked about, which was the total full moon eclipse in Pisces, ending the idea of the illusions that we've all been playing under, and maybe even some areas of life where we still had on the rose-colored glasses and what weren't really paying attention to what was taking place or what is taking place in our lives and in the outer reality. So this is a very, very potent solar eclipse, this new moon in Virgo, because it's at 29 degrees. And the in astrology, when we have any kind of planetary movement, just so you're aware, we go from 0 degrees, which is like, brand spanking new energy coming in. It's a new beginning energy. It's a, creating, we're setting the stage for what is going to unfold. And we go up in degrees all the way up to 29 degrees. And 29 degrees is the final degree. It's the ending degree. Okay. So we have 0 degrees in a planetary sign, and then we have 29 degrees. So we go from zero, the beginning or inception, to 29, which is the end, culminations, finales, if you will. Okay. And so that's what's taking place with this Virgo solar eclipse. It's at 29 degrees, it's creating endings, but because of the way it's interacting with some of the other planetary alignments that are happening right now, it's actually lighting up every other planet in the outer realm. And the outer realm, if you remember, we talked about, is actually the collective experience. It's not a personal planet like Venus would be a personal planet, right? It affects us personally on a personal level. But we're talking about the heavy hitters like Pluto. We're talking about Uranus, Saturn, right? These are heavy, big planets. They are mover and shaker planets for the collective consciousness. Right? It's not on a personal level. They impact us on a collective level. And so, if we go back in time to 2020 and perhaps before that, if you worked with me before that, you would have remembered me saying that we're going to get to a point where the timeline is going to split and we're going to have to make a decision where we are with regard to that timeline. Now, there's a lot of people that are under the impression that when the timeline splits, you don't have to do anything. It's like you're just going to move into that next highest state. That's not always the case. And the reason for that is because, as you all know, where your attention goes, your energy flows. So if we're giving too much attention to something that is a distortion, we may end up getting hooked into that energy. We may end up feeding that timeline through the field, which is why I've always maintained the position of let's not watch because there's no great purpose in watching. We can observe, take a peek, see what's happening, and then go off and do something productive. Go off and do something more instrumental in your life, right? We don't want to ignore anything. We want to be in understanding. We want to be maybe in the know of what's taking place, but we don't want to sit in it. We don't want to root in it. We don't want to take a side in any of it because the purpose of the 3D outer reality, of course, is for the purpose of shedding out right and wrong, good and bad. That's what it's for. As the soul grows through that experience of letting go, understanding that everything is for the sake of our evolution. Okay. So this is where this great awakening happens. Now, when we talked about the timeline splitting from 3D to the 5D, field, right? We talked about that years ago, 2020, 2019. I remember even way before that, right? In my in-person classes, we talked about that one before I was even online, 2005, 2006, all the way through, and then finally I went to an online platform as you know my own personal evolution happened. But we were talking about you know the timeline splitting back then, and Earth gradually increasing in this frequency and giving us an opportunity to move forward in higher states of consciousness. And that's what's happening. Now, if you think about it from the harmonic convergence, which started back in 1987, it's taken this long until this point in time, 2025, September 2025, to be specific, September 10th, 2025, to have that great awakening, to have the greatest awakening we have ever seen on the planet. And it's not really a surprise if you look at the energies. I've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes in order to prepare for this class because I wanted to be able to bring information forward for you so that you would understand the significance of this and the timing of this, right? Of everything that is playing out. And not to get into politics or anything like that, but the significance of the September 10th event, right? Charlie Kirk's assassination, that was the moment. And I was able to look at a couple of different astrologers who were talking specifically about his chart. And every one of them was pointing to the fact that what they were seeing was lining him up with this fated moment. And he had some kind of a heightened point in his Mercury placement, and Mercury is communication, and that's what he was here on the planet for, was for communication, which he fulfilled. He did that, right? But that, all of it lined up with this event that took place. And it literally is the catalyst for awakening, for people to see and say, hey, wait a second. You know, something's not right here, right? Something doesn't feel right. Something feels off. Let me look at where I'm lending my energy to so that they can start to determine where they are in their life, what they want for their life going forward, right? And the biggest part of this whole thing is going to be what's going to happen in the months to come, because we're on a fast track right now. We are on a rapid awakening fast track. Okay. These planets are pushing for the spotlight to be shown on everything, everything. And, you know, I want to just say this and then we're going to step out of politics because it has what we're talking about today was doesn't have anything to do with politics, but I wanted to point this out because this is the moment that we've been waiting for on the earth for people to be awakened, because it was, how is that going to happen? What is that going to look like? How are people going to actually see? What's going to shift the consciousness so that people can start to see that they need to change something or they need to shift something? Now, I'm not talking about the left versus the right, the Democrats versus Republican or anything like that, right? Liberals, conservatives. I'm talking about every single person on this globe, because there is not one person on this globe that doesn't need to shift something. We all need to shift something, okay? So this is impacting every single one of us. Every one of us, myself included. All right? And what's going to be interesting about this uptick, this surge in rapid conscious expansion, that's really what it is, rapid conscious expansion. What's interesting about it is that this energy is not going to slow down. And it's going to open up every hidden nook, right? Every place where there is no light, there's going to be light. And it's going to be across all facets. All everything. It's going to be in politics. It's going to be stuff that we didn't know that the right is doing, stuff that we didn't know the left is doing, right? It's going to shine a light on everything. One of the reasons I have been such a stickler for being neutral and not taking a side, right? And when COVID went, we had the whole Q movement and the whole MAGA movement and all of that. And I said, stay out of it. Don't take a side. Don't watch it. Observe, but keep doing you. Keep doing your thing. Keep moving forward. Because now we're in a place where moving forward, but a lot of what we know and a lot of who we are, we're not feeling anymore for ourselves. I know I'm not, right? And it requires now this new point of creation. But what does that feel like? But if we're so immersed in something else or somebody else's story or somebody else's battle, or that's not even in our physical reality in any way, shape, or form, then we're not present enough to see what it is that we are needing to shift in order to create that soul's forward movement, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. Okay. So, one of the reasons that I keep redirecting everybody out of these movements is because there's probably going to be some light shed on that too. The true intention of it, what it was created for, whatever. You have to remember the 3D and everything in it was created for the purpose of us playing a game so that we could make decisions on, what's higher aligned for us. And it's like, I'm going to give you everything, but there's a planet out there called Neptune. Neptune can make things a little foggy. Neptune can bring up illusions, right? It could have you wearing rose-colored glasses, especially at a 0 degree. Right, we just talked about degrees in the beginning, but at 0 degrees, Neptune's going to be a little foggy. It's going to make it hard to figure things out. It's going to make it hard to see the truth. Okay. Now, we've been playing under those illusions, and it goes back and forth, and it's back and forth. And then we see, and then, things shift and planets shift. And then we're like, oh, look at that. Who the heck knew, right? All I'm saying here is don't get caught taking a side, right? There is no such thing as one side or the other being truer, better, or purer. They just operate differently for different purposes. Okay. And so what's most important here is that we keep tuning to our path, because this, we're in soul energy right now. We're in this highest state of soul energy. And because the soul wants the ego to just let go and move out of the way, it could feel very confusing and a bit uncomfortable. Okay. All truths get revealed. There's going to be a lot of shedding. It's going to be a lot of letting go. All new realities are going to be created. We're going to see it across the government, the medical system, stuff coming out, right? We're going to see it in the school systems. I mean, if you haven't been recognizing, a shit ton of teachers have gotten fired recently for some, unwise engagement on social media, and they've gotten let go, released, fired, right? So it just shows there's so much work to be done. We need to step up to the plate, and we need to focus on ourselves and not focus on the outer reality. If we're focusing and going like, oh my God, all these teachers got fired, the school test system is corrupt, and then we fo overly focus on the school system, where are we not focused? We're not focused here, right? We want to see it, observe it, and move it on. Keep it moving. Okay. It's like Pisces came in, the Pisces lunar eclipse came in 2 weeks ago. Okay. And one of my quail died. No reason, just passed away. Found it morning. I went out to the coop to feed them. And I was sad. And I thought to myself, that's interesting. Because we have this, Pisces lunar eclipse, which is endings coming in, And I thought to myself, is there anything else going? What else is going? And then I sat down for a few seconds and I said, why is this happening? It's like, the last one, the chicken went on a full moon ending. Like, what is the intention? What's the purpose of this, right? And of course, universe says, well, it's an opportunity for you to play out the idea of loss, to realize loss, and to align with, being okay, understanding the idea that the body died, but the energy is still there. It's just in another frequency until you shift your frequency to connect with that frequency. And that's mediumship. And then there it is, right? And so, week later, another quail passed. And I was like, okay, well, this is incredibly interesting. Not what I was expecting at all, but okay, I understood. And it interestingly felt lighter, right? I was sad, but it didn't hit me as hard. And it was like, okay, I see. I can feel the sympathy, feel the moment of it, feel the sadness for the passing, for the loss, but not get lost in it or stuck in it or ruminate on it like I did with the chicken months ago when the chicken passed. Okay, I was stuck for a week. And, the people around here would say, well, it's a chicken, they're dumb. If a car is backing up, a chicken will actually go and stand behind the wheel as the wheel backs over it, because that's a chicken's mentality, right? It's a chicken. And I see that with the chickens, not particularly smart, but me being me, compassionate source of love and everything else, doesn't want to see any harm come to anything, right? But also realizing that everything has its purpose and it has to move on. So sometimes lessons will come through the animals that we are caretakers to. Okay. And we have to look at what's happening and say, how can I let go just a little more to be in my highest alignment with what is unfolding? Because there is great purpose, even if I don't really want it. I don't want to deal with animals dying in my presence. But the universe says, well, that's a natural cycle to life, right? The cycle of life and death. Can you get more okay with that? Because the more you can get okay with the death part of the cycle of dying, you're not going to be focused on the actual death, and you're not going to then create more death energy in your field and bring yourself into that placement where you could create an exit point. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting, because I would not have thought that, but that's how this works, right? So as we're going through this sh shedding, new realities are going to be created. And we're going to have to look at our personal imbalances. We're going to have to look at the truth of who we are and who we're not, right? Maybe when we were little, at some point, we found ourselves sitting on a swing in the backyard thinking, when I could grow up, I'm going to get married and I'm going to have, four children and a white picket fence and a dog and a cat and a beautiful big house and a great partner and blah, blah, blah. And, you look at your life today and, gee, that's not who I am. I don't know about you, but that's not who I am, right? So it forces us, it's forcing us to take an inventory and look and see the truth of who we are. We might not have come here for that purpose. We might not have incarnated for the house with the white picket fence, the kids, the husband, the wife, the whatever, right? We might not be here for that. But I know plenty of people, their whole entire lives, that cannot see that, because the only thing they can see is that they're 50 years old and they have never had a child or are not going to have a child anymore. And they're fixated on that there's something not right there. But yet, that's the story we don't want to play in, because it's not our truth. What if the soul didn't come here for children, right? So this energy that we're in is really asking us to take a look at who we are now, not who we were told we needed to be, right? Not dimming ourselves down because somebody else says, and I've heard it from my friends growing up, when are you going to find a nice guy? Grew up in a very Italian neighborhood. When are you going to find a nice guy? You're going to get find a nice guy. You got to get married and you got to have babies. Now, my family never said that to me. I thought there was something wrong, or maybe that, like I wasn't supposed to have children or something. But all of my friends, again, I was in a very Italian neighborhood, were fixated on having the grandbabies, right? And that's what I remembered growing up. But maybe that's not who we're supposed to be. And the soul knows that, but the human doesn't, because the human is operating from a place of ego. Okay. So this energy that's here right now, that's coming in on the 21st, is asking us to step into our full potential from a soul level, not from a human perspective, not from an ego perspective. But what is your soul longing for? And if we don't know, I know in prior classes, I've given some journaling prompts to help bring that forward, right? Because a lot of us don't know what we really desire. We don't know what it is that we're longing for. Most of us don't. So this period that we're in is requiring no action, only presence. It's asking us to be present for ourselves. Let the things that we're needing come to us. Okay. The universe is going to show us, and the universe will bring what we need forward. But if we're too much in our head. We're too much thinking about it, or we're trying to plan for it or plot for it. We're going to be restricting it in some way, shape, or form. And I could tell you, it's with everything, right? A couple of weeks ago, I had made a banana bread, and it was on my large crystal flat round, big flat round platter that had hummingbirds on it. This platter has to be probably 30 years old. And every time I took it out to put a banana bread or a zucchini bread on it, I would think to myself, you know, I really should get rid of this. This is so big. I should really get something that's, you know, long and rectangular shape that just about fits the banana bread or the zucchini bread. And I kept thinking that, and then I let it go, never bothered to look for anything. And so having Sunday dinner, Joe, his uncle Mario came by, and we're having dinner. And I had taken the platter with the banana bread, and I had put it on top of the stove away from the hot burners because we were eating dinner, but I had put it on the other side. And Lasagna thought it smelled really good and wanted to check out what was going on. So he jumped up, which he doesn't normally ever do, but in this case, he did. And he jumped up, and his paw must have hit the dish. We were all sitting right here. Kitchen is behind me. We heard it. I think Joe saw it. He yelled at him, and then we heard this cracking sound. So Joe gets up, and he's like, "Oh, crap." And I was like, "What's the matter?" And he's like, "Your dish broke." And I said, "Really? Is the banana bread okay?" And he said, "Yeah, but your dish is in pieces." And I was like, "It was 30 years old. We just came out of we just had a Pisces lunar eclipse." I was like, "I've been feeling that dish needs to go. It's time to change it over, right? It held the energy of the last three marriages. Why would I want to hold on to it any longer, right? It just reminds me of then. It's not now. It's not current. Let me get rid of it." So he's like, "You sure you're not mad?" I'm like, "Nope. I'm going to slice off the bottom of the banana bread just to make sure it doesn't have any shards of glass, although it did break really clean. So I don't think it did. It was, but I did it anyway, sliced it off. We had it for dessert afterwards." And then I said, "You know, I think, you know, when the time is right, I need a plate that's going to serve that, right? Be rectangular, just about the width of the banana bread. That would be perfect. Not too big, not clumsy, and whatnot." And probably about 2 weeks later, I was in the grocery store shopping, and I kept feeling prompted to run to Target and look there for something. I can't remember what I was just, I think it was some cat food or something like that, because Publix didn't have it in stock. So I was like, okay. So I go into Target, and I'm walking around. I said, "You know, just for the heck of it," I was feeling prompted, "just for the heck of it, let me go into the home goods section and see if there's anything there." What do you think I found? I found this beautiful white long rectangular plate that's a little wider than my banana bread. And it was actually on sale. I don't know what the deal was, but it was reduced from $28 to $7. And seven is the number of spirituality. So I said, "By golly, I'll take this. Thank you very much, universe." Right. And so the more we can not be in resistance to what is, the more we call into the magic of what we desire most, right? And then the rest of the week was just filled with like all these little synchronous moments just coming, and you know, so much goodness just coming in from that because I wasn't fixated on not being able to find it, right? And that's what this energy wants from us. It wants us to just let go, Just be present. The universe will show you. It's going to show up for us, right? So when we're in eclipses, during an eclipse corridor, eclipses point us to our purpose. Some of them, like this particular one, is a destiny marker. Okay. So not only is this eclipse pushing us toward our purpose, but it's also marking destiny for us. All right. The eclipses work through something called the nodes, and we all have one. We have two. We have a south node, which is our past, it's our karmic node. It tells what we are here to clear or what we're here to work through, right? And it could be something like I'll share mine. It's about restriction, letting go of the idea that there has to be restriction. Like growing up in a family where my mother was afraid to let us out of her sight, didn't want to let us go on faraway trips. It took a lot for her to let me go to my aunt and uncle in North Carolina, because she didn't want me traveling that far, but because my grandmother was going, I was able to go. But like even going to the mall was challenging because my mother had a lot of fear. So there was a lot of restriction, a lot of limitation, and then there was an incredible amount of responsibility. I had chores. My brother didn't have many, but I had chores, and I had an extraordinary amount of responsibility when I was young. And that meant care of taking care of everybody else. So I grew up with all that. Well, that's all South Node energy. It's all karmic related energy, right? It's what I came in with. It's what my soul is here to say, okay, I'm done with this. I'm not playing with this anymore. I don't need it anymore. Let's see what the North Node wants me to do now. And the North Node says, North Node is destiny. It says, oh, now you're supposed to find your joy. You're supposed to, you travel, you're supposed to do art, you're supposed, it's got all of these other plans for me, right? But the challenge, and this is all of us, I'm just using mine as an example. The challenge is, can we actually get out of our way in order to let go of what we've known our whole lives and move into this other state of being? Can we do that? In other words, can we move away or move out of the restriction or limitation of the ego into the soul? And if you have been with me all this time, you know that the ego can sometimes be extremely strong. Okay. And the ego wants to know what it wants to know. And this, it'll scream at the top of its lungs, go kicking and screaming. Whereas the soul is very quiet and it's gentle and it's waiting for us to pay attention to it. It's waiting for us to hear it. Okay. So this is the point with this eclipse where it's going to be pushing us towards what is right for us, what's in our best interest, what's going to bring out our highest potential. And that's where we all are now, all of us, not just me, all of us. Okay. And since this eclipse is at the final degree at 29 degrees, it's lighting up all new everything for us, right? It's new pathways, new states of consciousness. People who don't have a place in our lives anymore are leaving, and new connections will come in. Now, we can be in resistance to this, and I'm seeing a lot of this playing out. Okay. And I've been seeing it playing out for quite a few months, because people that are in resistance to the idea of letting go of someone in our life who is, for lack of a better way to say it, holding us back. They don't realize that. And because their emotions are so vested in this other person and what they've built with this person, they're not seeing that that's exactly what they came in to do. They came in to connect with this person in this way so that they could play this game with themselves to see if they could figure it out and let go in order to move beyond and move to that next level. Okay, that's what we're here for. Earth is a school, right? And it's here where we learn, the soul learns. It goes through its evolution. Some of it is easy and fun, and some of it is very challenging and at times may be very painful and bring a lot of sadness, right? But it doesn't have to be if we can see what's playing out and understand what is taking place. Okay. And so, I've experienced it in my own life, right? Last September, which is what this eclipse is closing out, last September and this March. Last September, big blow up in my friendship with Beth and her daughter invokes a move. The move gets put on my schedule, and the soul is like, we're going to Florida. And the human, the ego, is like, all right, let me just go through my phone and look at the real estates and see what in New York is available, what in upstate New York is available, what in Pennsylvania, because Maria didn't want to come to Florida, right? Because Maria wasn't listening to her soul. Okay. But everything points to Florida being a good place for me to be. And so far, so good. It all is aligned from a higher spiritual level for me to be here. Okay. But my ego was so in the way, it didn't want to be here because it was like, well, surely I'm not supposed to leave the only place that I know that I've ever been, that I've grown up, right? Because I don't really like the weather in Florida. I don't want to be in hurricane country. I don't want to be this. I don't want to be that. That was all resistance. Okay. And since I've been here, it's been very different weather. It's not the normal weather. It's been much better, much milder. Not as intensified heat. I didn't find myself melting at any point. But I also came here without a preconceived idea of what I was going to be experiencing. So far, no big storms, My state of knowing, my consciousness, my lack of resistance is contributing to a much better experience here. Okay. And now, because I have operated from that place and it's just me, I don't really talk to many people all day long, except for when I do client sessions. So I'm not engaging all day long. I'm finding myself busy with so many other things. The universe is showing up. It's connecting with me in, various ways, right? So when we take resistance out of it, things can come to us. But if we're in any resistance, it makes it that more challenging, right? The right person's not coming in for what you need in order to help you move forward. That right job is not coming in for what you need in order for you to move forward. Your perfect house, whatever it is, your perfect partner, right? And that's because we have our eyes focused out there at what's not working, as opposed to here that says, how can I find more joy? Okay, right now I'm feeling a struggle because XYZ is happening and I'm not crazy about that. It doesn't feel good, right? I'm going to let go of that because I know I'm holding resistance to it. What can I do right now to facilitate more joy coming into my life? Because The more joy I bring into my life, the more fulfilled my soul will feel, the higher I will vibrate, and then that thing, person, or place will come in that I'm needing. Do you see? But if we're standing in the way with any kind of resistance, if we're feeling frustrated, if we're feeling angry, if we're feeling challenged, it's not going to happen. We have to completely let go. And we also have to want to interact with the universe in a different way than what the way that we interact, right? And requires letting go of the ego, right? Moving that out of the way. So, old work, the old way of doing things, it's got to change. Hello, Bella. It's got to change. It's got to be brought into a higher state of alignment, right? It can't stay the same. Everything is changing. Relationships, they've got to move into a higher state of alignment. Everything has to take a shift up, has to step up with us. And so it's important for us to pay attention to that. Okay. This is where we must realize we're not like somebody else. Okay. And this is big in those business forums. I see that all the time. I was never aligned with that. And I see people taking business courses all the time and they tell you, do this, do that. It's a one stop cookie cutter type of thing. And I'm just using that as an example because there's many different types of engagement out there that is that one type cookie cutter everything. I saw it when I was doing Reiki, right? Everybody goes to the teacher teaches their way of doing Reiki, and then everybody leaves there, and then half the class is having a panic attack because they can't remember exactly how the teacher did it, how the teacher placed their hands, or what they need to do. And now they're in panic mode because they're not doing it exactly like the teacher did it, right? This is the type of stuff throughout our lives that has stunted our growth, okay? Because we're not even aware that we're not in our true soul's nature because we're so used to following the masses. We were groomed that way in school to follow the masses, right? This is how you do it. Don't think outside the box. We don't like that. We want you to do it our way, right? I remember on Long Island when I was teaching Reiki, I was brand new, brand spanking new. There was this guy out east who was teaching Reiki, and he decided that the symbols that were with the regular Asui Reiki were not effective enough. So he added two of his own symbols to how he taught Asui Reiki, right? And everybody was on him because that was taboo, right? You have to teach it exactly like you learned it, exactly like it was taught to you. And that really stuck with me because you couldn't stray from the program. And I was, very twisted because, from one perspective, I wanted to teach my students to read energy and be a better Reiki practitioner, be a better teacher than I was, because that would make me a better teacher. And then, from the other perspective, I didn't want to see anybody doing any new symbols that didn't really work with the traditional Dr. Asui, right? So there was this conflicted this thing in my head going, and it was like I would give myself a headache thinking about it, right? But now I look at that and I'm like, well, Dr. Asui channeled Reiki. So who's to say there can't be two new symbols? Maybe humanity is ready for two new symbols to be channeled, right? And then we see one of the pioneers of Usui Reiki, who started the Rand Institute. Some of you might know him, William Rand. He decided that one day he woke up and he downloaded this new type of Reiki called Karuna Reiki, which was now the feminine aspect to the masculine aspect of Usui Reiki. And again, it was this whole big thing, but like when you really think about it, like, where is the, I mean, in the Earth manual that we incarnated with? Oh, wait, I'm sorry, we didn't get an Earth manual, did we? Nope, we didn't. And so that's the problem, right? But everybody wants to act as if we got an Earth manual, and it says in the Earth manual, this is how it's done. And you cannot stray from that because you will spark up like a cinder and burn to the ground. And that's not the truth at all, but nobody tells us that we could be more or do more. That's the time we're in now, right? Get out of the box. Let go of the limitation. Stop copying what everybody else is doing. And this is the problem that we've had with social media, which is why it's not working anymore, because everybody wants to copy the influencers, right? And it's just more copycatting. And the soul doesn't line up with that. The soul's not in agreement to that. The soul wants its unique identity. Okay. So a good journal prompt here would be, can you feel into what does not feel joyful anymore? Can I feel what is not joyful in my life anymore? What don't I love? What doesn't feel good right now? Right? And journal on that. What needs to become bigger? What do I need to do more of to bring in that joy? Right? And I could use art. Do I need to do more art? What kind of art? What am I? Well, again, I'll use myself as an example so you see how this works. You know, I took that painting classes and I was fine. You know, after three, I was like, this is ju just not who I am. And then I found myself going back to a class that I started, but I never completed back in 2020 from a girl in Italy. It was one of the first watercolor artists that I took a class with. And just recently, I keep feeling like, I need to go back and pay attention to that class. I need to go back and check it out. And it has to do with fairies, right? It has to do with nature, the elementals, okay? And it's very strong right now. It's really very strong. That sense of magic, that sense of, you know, of connectedness, okay? And, you know, it's not a surprise, right? The dragonfly shows up and wants to be playful. And, you know, then I haven't posted a picture yet, but this teeny tiny frog that might be the size of my thumbnail. No lie. Wait until you see the picture of it. A teeny tiny little tree frog. I'm so glad that I did not step on it because I stood up from my chair outside. I was sitting under the pole barn between sessions and I looked at the time as I have to go back in. And I got up and s just called my attention down to it, this little tiny frog. I looked down and there it was right by my foot. And it wasn't even as big as the leaf that was sitting next to it. And I thought to myself, what the heck? Is that a frog? I mean, when you see the picture, I couldn't even get a really good picture of it because it's so teeny tiny, right? And then I was like, okay, the frog is showing up and the dragonfly is showing up. And then the other day, I opened the garage door for the bird seed because I have to fill the bird feeders in the front. And I looked down and I think it's my lizard that I love so much from the front of the house. And he was laying dead on the floor of the garage. So I nudged him out of the garage and by the cooler and kind of put him in a placement under the back end of the cooler because I'm like, I don't know. Is he dead? Is he alive? Do lizards play dead? I don't know. I don't want him to be dead. Please don't be dead. And then I found myself going like, I love that little lizard. I want him to come visit me and say hello again. I don't want him to be dead, right? Like, all right, I'm not going to be in resistance to him being dead because then he's going to be dead for sure. So I'm just going to let go of that and I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to forget about it, come into the house. And then the next morning, I wake up and I shifted a timeline through this whole thing. And it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and I can't go back to sleep. And I'm like, all right, let me get up. I'm going to get my day going. Very hard to do with lasagna because he wants to eat right away. And he can't because if I feed him at 5 o'clock in the morning, he's going to be a maniac the rest of the day until he eats again at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I kind of sat in my bed and made him wait, got myself something to drink and hung out in bed, read a little, did some journaling and whatnot. And I came back out to, I don't, maybe, get some more stuff to drink or whatever. The light outside still wasn't up. Maybe by this time it was 6:30 instead of 5 o'clock in the morning. And I go back to the refrigerator door to grab the handle, and there's a spider on the refrigerator door. I didn't see it the first time. Don't know how that happened, but it was the size of a silver dollar. It was like, so the head in the middle, but the legs were like that big around in the circumference. Stop me. And I said, don't move. I'm going to help you get outside. And I got a jar and a piece of paper, slipped it in there, and outside he went. And I thought, well, that was a little crazy. And as I was coming in from the outside, I said, let me check on my lizard and see. Hopefully he's still there, or he's not there, or I don't want him to be there. And I was thinking it would be better if he wasn't there because then it would be like it never happened, right? And I went to the back end of the cooler, gone. I thought to myself, well, maybe he wasn't dead and he left. So then I come outside earlier today, right? This is yesterday. Come outside earlier today, nothing. And I'm like, I call him, it's a playful thing. Here, lizard, 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 because of course I'm playing with the universe. I'm sharing this with you so that you could see what I'm doing. You could do the same thing. And I walk out the door and open the front door and was about to call him, and there's the lizard on the brick walkway, and he's bouncing his head up and down at me. And I just stood there for a second and I said, I can't make this. I need a cameraman to follow me so that somebody could take a video of all of this stuff and people could actually see when you are so present for yourself, the stuff that actually shows up because nobody would believe it, right? So between the frog, the dragonfly, the spider, they're all animal medicine, right? They all have big messages to deliver. The lizard, the same thing, right? It's all creation energy. And so it's up to us if we can let go of the old ways of thinking, the old limitations, the old restrictions, because the way I see the universe is everything is always in flow. So if I don't get my head too wrapped up in something being done or lost or gone or whatever, maybe there's an opportunity for me to create it and experience it in a different light, a different way. Okay. Now I'm talking small stuff. Right, I'm not talking about bringing back a quail or bringing back a chicken. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking small stuff here, and that's where it starts. Starts with the small stuff. If you start to think about it from the point of your own creation and the point of your joy, what is it that you're really done with that you don't need anymore, that you don't need to engage in, that you don't feel fulfilled by? And what is it that you'd like to move to, right? So the other day, I did a session with my beloved Liz over here, And at the end of the call, she said to me, "Can I share something with you?" And I said, "Sure." And she said, "I feel horses all around you." And I was like, "Well, funny you should say that, because now, since I've moved in and months later, there's even more horses around me on properties around me than there were when I first got here." And she's like, "No, I feel like they're calling you, like you're going to interact in some way, shape, or form." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll take it. I love it. I like it. It's horses about strength and courage and moving forward with great speed, right? Nothing in your way, because horses could travel pretty much anywhere over anything." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm taking that all in, right?" So we do the call the other day, and I'm thinking about the horses, and I'm thinking about the houses with the horses, and how people just moved in and now they have two horses there, and I've got four horses here, the horses at the end of the street. So I had to go to the store. So I get myself together, run out to the store, and as I'm coming, pulling out, the two horses at the end of the block are literally at the fence, like heads over the fence, and they're looking at me. I pull up, they're looking at me. I make the left, I go on my way, and I come back like 2 hours later, and they're at the fence in a different section, and they're both just hanging there at the fence, heads over the fence again in a different part of the fence. And I come up and I'm like, "Well, that's pretty interesting." I felt like, we were connecting in the field, right? So I go home, pull in the driveway, get in the house. And then I think to myself, I've got some things I got to do outside. I had to tend to the chickens, feed the peacocks. Like there was a bunch of things I needed to do. It's like, okay, I'm going to do that. And I'm thinking about the horses still. And as I'm coming around the back of the house, I'm hearing clip clop, clip clop, clip clop. And I was like, there's absolutely no way. There's no way. I get around the house, and it had just literally passed the house, but a girl from the house diagonally across from me riding one of the horses down the block. Now they don't trot them or canter, they just walk them down the block. And she's riding this horse past the block. And I thought to myself, okay, well, that's even closer than the horses just hanging their heads over the fence, right? And then I realized the magic of the manifestation power that we have at this time with these energies is so great and so strong, that whatever we're tuning to, that we're feeling great joy from, the soul is automatically calling it in. It's being called in very quickly. But at the same time, whatever it is that we're not in love with and that we're holding resistance to, we're calling that in quickly too. And we're going to get even more of that, which is creating resistance for us, or what's creating the resistance is our lack of desire for it, right? So wouldn't we rather have the joy and the good feelings, good vibes, and desire for more of that? That's where we have to focus, right? So this is the work that we have to be in right now, because this is a very rapid evolution of self that we're in. Everything is unfolding so quickly for us. The minute we have a thought, it could play out for us, good or bad, depending on how strongly we're thinking that thought. Okay. So it's really important that we don't sleep on ourselves, that we start to have a really good practice of bringing in the soul's desire, the heart's desire, right? Because the human doesn't know. Your human doesn't know. The ego is in the way. The ego's doesn't want to lose control, doesn't want to doesn't want to lose the good fight, right? A good practice, one that I do, especially when I need to manifest something new, is I take my journal just before I'm going to lay down to sleep and I start writing gratitude. And I'm not even writing the gratitude for the stuff that I have now or the stuff that's in my reality now. I'm writing gratitude for the things that I know are coming because I desire them very strongly. Right? Like I might write that I am so grateful for this amazing horse that I am now getting to share space with and interacting with and loving on, and it's loving on me. Right? The where it comes from or the where it's located, irrelevant. Irrelevant. The how it came to me, irrelevant. Irrelevant. Who brought it to me? Who gave it to me? Irrelevant. No placement. Doesn't matter. Universe doesn't care. Those are details the universe doesn't care about. The only thing the universe wants to know is, with great clarity, what is it that the heart is desiring? I do not care how it shows up, right? And in my mind, when I'm writing out this horse and I'm thinking about this horse, I'm thinking about a horse that is young at heart. It doesn't have to be young physically, but a horse that's young at heart, a horse that has a kind and loving personality that's going to appreciate me, a horse that I'm going to appreciate, that I'm going to enjoy interacting with in whatever way that is, right? That's what I'm giving gratitude for. I'm giving gratitude for that. And I'm just using this as an example. Okay. That's what we need to do at night. Why? Because we're filling our field just before we sleep with higher light, with higher information, with higher intel. Because most of us are going to bed thinking about the crappy shit that happened during the day. We're thinking about the shitty things people said or the shitty things that we saw on social media or wherever we see them, right? Or the interactions we have when we are connecting with people out in public, okay? We don't want to go to sleep with that. We don't want to go to sleep with what family has said or what family has done or any of that stuff. We want to go to bed aligning ourselves with our highest creator potential, tapping into the creator within us so that we're creating what it is that we truly desire in our reality. And no, for me, I desire more interaction with my reality. I looked out the kitchen window this morning and there were probably about 15 or 20 dragonflies going back and forth in front of the window, just flying back and forth. I said, I wish I had time to take a video of this. I wouldn't come out, right? Because the angle, there wasn't anything clear behind it, so you're really not going to see them moving in, because there's lots of trees and stuff like that. But I thought, like, this is magical. Thank you for showing up for me, right? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for showing up for me. The horse, thank you for showing up for me. Thank you. The person that was riding the horse, thank you for showing up for me. Thank you for knowing I needed to see that horse in that moment, right, Liz? Thank you for bringing that message through so that I could know about the horse and I could feel that in my field and I can really anchor that in, right? And then another artist I follow on YouTube posted that she has a new tutorial on painting a horse. And it's just like all of these synchronicities will just keep coming, right? But we have to do something to shift the energies because the old is not working anymore. And the old is going to get really old fast, like really old, because now we're in such a state of rapid evolution. We don't want to sleep on ourselves because we've been sleeping on ourselves. Okay. So this energetic stream that we're experiencing, this is going to be the pace all the way through 2027. It's going to start speeding up now to the end of the year, 2026, because this is the rapid evolution, the rapid awakening. Okay. So I'm just going to say this. Shit is going to come up in a way that we can no longer ignore it. It's going to come up, and it's because the wounds that we've carried, the identities that we've created for ourselves based on other people's perspectives, opinions, suggestions need to be healed. Okay? We're in a time of the deepest healing right now. And so our deepest wounds will usually point us to our purpose, because that is what we're here to heal so that we can move forward. We have to do the karmic work first and heal through that work, and then we step into the power of who we are. And you're kind of seeing it with me, right? There's things that just don't resonate with me anymore. And I can't do them when it's not soul aligned, or I can't be there for it when it's not soul aligned, but it's got to change. It's got to evolve. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm still working through figuring it out, right? And I'm trying to step back as much as I can and not have to control everything, but just flow with being in flow and coming from the highest place within me with the most love, understanding that just like all of you, this is my process of 11 of evolution through 2027. We're all doing this together. We're all going to the same convergence point together. So, this is where we're going to start to see what we haven't been able to see. When we look for our purpose and say, what's my purpose? We're not going to find it by looking for it. We'll never find it by looking for it. We only find it by allowing it to come, because we're out of the way. We're not in resistance to what is. Okay. And so the best place for us to be through all of this is to be in conscious awareness, to be a co-creator, to notice when we're holding resistance in our field, that we're limiting ourselves in whatever way and not allowing for our own personal expansion. Okay. Now, a good way to do this, again, this is a journal prompt if you want, is to see what triggers you. What triggers you? Maybe someone makes you feel like you're abandoned, right? Or maybe you feel lonely. You have a lot of people around you, but you still feel lonely, or you feel like you're not enough, or you don't measure up to whatever your measurement, your gauge is. Maybe it's family, maybe it's influencers, maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's a significant other, right? Or maybe you've dealt with relationships. Maybe relationships trigger you. Maybe you've dealt with patterns of betrayal, right? Maybe you have a hard time being seen. No, that's a big one, right? Not being able to be seen. Maybe speaking your truth, right? Not being able to speak your truth. Self-care, self-nurture, taking care of yourself first, because we all have a tendency to put other people first in our lives and not take care of our needs. That's a number one no-no. Can't do that. Okay. Journal on it, sit with it, let it come to you. Don't try to push it, don't try to to feel into it. Let it come. Just put down what triggered me today? What triggered me? What bothered me? What rubbed me the wrong way? Okay. Bring awareness to it through journaling, maybe speaking it out, right? Doing a session or taking a class or talking to yourself in the mirror. That's a good one. Right? Or if it's something that is particularly triggering, like being seen, go be seen. Do it. Show up for yourself, right? The physical world will start showing up for you when you show up for yourself. The physical world can't not show up for you. It's like the plate, right? It was sitting right there waiting for me. And it was on sale, $7. How could I not buy it? And it was such a profound, ever since I was a little girl, loved the number seven, right? That's always been my number. Things will show up without effort, right? The frog, the dragonfly, the lizard, the horse, so much magic. But not if we're not looking for it, not if we're getting in the way of it, not if we're in resistance to what's happening. If you got stuff going on in your life and you're not loving it, gotta look at it. How are you interacting in that? Are you allowing it? Are you creating it? There's something in the needing of it, the gotta having of it. I gotta have this. I can't not do it. My family will kill me. That's not true. It's what we've been told and what we think. That's what this time is about. We see. It's the illusions. We're playing to illusions. Stop playing in the illusions. They're just stories. This is a holographic reality. The more you tell yourself this is a hologram, my reality is right here with me. It's right here in this house. And guess what? It's not in the house when I'm not in the house. My reality is wherever I am in that minute. If I'm in the store, the reality is in the store with me. If I'm in the backyard, the reality is in the backyard with me. If I'm in the backyard, there's nothing in the house. The house is an illusion. It's a shell. It's in the hologram, right? That's why I keep saying, don't watch the outer reality burn. There's no reason for it. There's no need to do that. You can watch what's happening. You can be an observer to it, but don't get emotionally invested in it. Don't get caught up in it because it is the illusion. We only think it's real because we've been trained to know form. Form exists in 3D. I can't put my hand through it yet as much as I would like to. I'm not there yet. I'll let you know when I do, when I figure that out. I will teach you how to do that, but I'm not there yet. So I cannot do that. But eventually, one day we will, right? It's like the aging program. If we take that in, we age. But if we say that is not my story, I am not aligning with that. It slows down the aging process. So we have to really be careful and pay attention to what it is that we're mentalizing, right? Like what we're thinking about, right? And because we're in this time right now, higher states of karma are going to play out because we're done with it. We're doing it. Like this is it, the completion of it, right? So discernment is required. If you're engaging with something that you don't love, that's not feeling good to you, stop doing it. If your environment requires you going somewhere to do something with people that you don't particularly love to be with, stop doing it for the sake of saving face and looking like a good person and being present for everybody that is not resonating with you. If it's not your joy, Only go where you are finding your greatest joy, right? That's part of this. It's part of what we're going through now, what we're needing to heal now. Okay. So if someone is playing karma with you, and you'll know because karma is negative, karma doesn't feel good. So if somebody is playing out that karma with you, stay present for it. Don't get mad at them. See, oh, this is a gift. I didn't realize I don't need to interact with this. I don't need to play with this. This is a gift. It shows me where I am within myself, right? The mind, really the ego, clouds us. It doesn't want to let go. It doesn't want to end its journey with us. So the ego fakes us out. It clouds our vision. We don't see well, right? But the heart will always bring our truth. And I can defer back to that art class. As much as I love art and enjoyed going, by the third class, I was really in resistance to the experience of going. And I sat and I was like, why am I going? Well, because you're already paid for it. But that's not really a good excuse. And then the ego's like, yeah, but you're going to lose the money for it. And then, of course, higher self was like, who cares? You'll do something better with your day. But then I went thinking, well, maybe it was just the people in the last class that really I didn't have a connection with or whatever. So I pushed myself to go. And again, I found out I don't love it. I didn't love it. Don't want to do it. Don't want to do that. Right? So I don't have to do that anymore. But I have to get okay with that and not look at it like it's something bad. Right? So right now, because this is a Virgo solar eclipse, Virgo is our mind, right? It's thinking. Virgo loves awareness. It loves the mental. Okay. It's very earthy, but it's very mind-based. Okay. And I know so many Virgos. I don't know if we have any here. So many Virgos that can really root in their head. They could just get rooted and stay in their head. Right. And something makes you angry, you got to figure it out. And you're on that tangent to nail it, whatever it is. Right. So we have to work a little harder, a little extra hard there. Okay. So this eclipse is pointing us to our new Earth future. This is really going to be felt when Neptune and Saturn are back in the sign of Aries at 0 degrees for the beginning. And remember, Neptune at 0 degrees is a bit foggy, right? It's a bit cloudy. So if you're suddenly feeling confused, right, we might find this going forward sometime toward the end of November, right? It's going to feel a little confusing. Hey, I thought I knew, and now I don't seem to know. That's when you sit, be present, no forward thinking. Thinking gets us into trouble. We want to operate from the heart. I'm working with somebody on their mediumship skills, and we were having a conversation the other day, and she sent me something to look at. Somebody had taken a video of some. What looked like ships, right? They were lights. And she was saying, oh, look, they're in V formation. There really wasn't V formation, but I mean, I've seen V formation. When I was 15. And when, if you ever see a ship, it pings us, it pings within us, right? Because it's us, it's energy. And she said, what do you think of this? I gave her, my thoughts on it, what we were seeing the potential of it. I was like, that's not to say in her reality that maybe it's a ship in her reality, but like I just don't feel that from her. And then I explained how We need to sit with the, within the gateway of the heart, because the heart is everything. It tells us the truth of everything. And when she did that, she said, "I'm so glad you said that to me, because I don't feel anything either." And she's like, "And it makes sense now. What you said makes a lot of sense to me. So I'm going to operate from that and sit in the placement of my heart." We need to be in the heart, not the head. The head is like, a child in a toy store, right? It's going to pull you toward everything it sees. "Oh, look at this. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that." But the heart is going to be very quiet. It's going to be in presence. It's going to really, give you truth and awareness. Okay. So because of the fact that we have this bit of fogginess through Neptune, which feels a little fuzzy right now, we need to be present for ourselves and for everything that's playing out, right? We need to do things that take us into the heart. Journaling is a good one of those, being out in nature, getting connected with nature, right? And this eclipse is so heavily pointing to the new Earth experience for us that we want to be in alignment with everything that is being created and the energies that are coming in, ushering us in that direction. Okay. So this is our practice for what's coming. We want to be clear about these energies that we're playing in, because it's going to feel chaotic out there. There's going to be a lot of this and that and back and forth and confusion and shock and more shock. Stay out of it. Look at it like an observer, right? Be in neutrality. There is no right, there is no wrong. It is an experience that everybody on the earth is having, to give them an opportunity to choose their soul over the ego. The soul takes us forward, it takes us higher. The ego steps us back. Okay. So, you know how I say sometimes I feel like I just woke up on the earth, and we could play that game, like, what if I only woke up today on the earth for the first time? And I didn't really know that, right? But I got up this morning and I feel like I'm in a new timeline, or something new has shifted, right? Now, suddenly I'm going, waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning or 5:30 in the morning. And for the last couple of months, I wasn't able to get up until like 7:30. Okay. And then all of a sudden, I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I've slept the whole night. Didn't get up once. That's a shift. Something has happened. Something has settled within me. So if we're not settled, we have to sit and play that. What if I woke up on the earth today? Who am I? Get your journal and write that out. Who am I? What am I here for? What brings me great joy? Not your job, not your career, not your purpose, right? But what is it that is it traveling? Is it some kind of artistic experience, like playing a musical instrument? Or, maybe you love being with your animals, or you love being out in nature. What brings you your greatest joy? And maybe it's service to others. Maybe you absolutely love helping other people. Maybe you're in a service-oriented job and that is what you love the most. You love connecting with people, talking to people, very heartfelt conversations, right? Heartfelt. That is the key. But most people don't know what brings them joy. They have no idea. And I've said that before in other gatherings. It's really important to sit with this. Okay. So, this Friday, in 2 days, this Friday, we're going to have the finger of God. It's a yod. If you've ever done tarot cards, I know Arlene has, there are these little droplets of water on the aces, right? And they're called yods. And it's like the finger of God, fate. It's a fated destiny type of point. And it's really powerful, okay? It's and it can be karmic depending, but Friday is a finger of God day. It's a very fated day. And this is what we're all here for. This is what we're all waiting for. This is a very soul-oriented time, very transformational energy. But because of the fact that it is a fated energy, a yod energy, it can also feel extremely challenging. Okay. So the best way to work through it or work with it is to breathe through it. Don't be in resistance to what is. And if you feel yourself in resistance, catch it and say, I'm feeling stressed about something. Let me sit down with this. Let me sit down and see where the stress is coming from. Is this mine? Is it somebody else's? Did I pick it up from a relative, a friend at work, the store, wherever, right? Very important. Now, this eclipse is on the 21st, which I believe is on Monday, okay? And it is a south node eclipse, so it's clearing karma. So we are going to be looking to resolve whatever we haven't resolved. If you're uncertain, listen to the last class because I go over in that class what the depth of the work, right? What we're needing to let go over or releasing patterns, behaviors, people, places, things, right? Get out of your head. I was asked the other day, somebody said to me, so do you think you're staying in Florida? Do you love it there? And I said, for the moment. And they're like, oh, well, where else might you want to live? I was like, I don't really know. And now because I've gotten so good at operating from this place within myself, I don't really care. I mean, who the hell knows? The universe might pick me up tomorrow, move me to, I don't know, France, or maybe it'll move me to Chichen Itza, Mexico, or I don't know, right? I don't know. Right now, I like it. It's working and it's good. But if you ask me where I was planning on going, I have no clue. I don't know. So, I'm thinking if I'm meant to find out, I'll probably know sometime by next June through September because all of this completes in March. So for me, so I'm sure that will point me in some kind of direction. And who knows, I might end up staying in Florida, just moving into a different house or something like that. I don't know, right? But it's important that we understand we are in a time of endings. All right. And it may be challenging. It requires a lot of self-love, a lot of compassion, a lot of presence to understand that letting go is only challenging because the mind wants us to stay stuck in the idea that we can't move on without this or that. That's an illusion. We are here for the soul's evolution. We're not here for the illusion, right? So going forward is evolution. Staying stuck in something that's not working, not fulfilling, not making us happy is playing out the illusion. All right. So it's important to focus on what this eclipse is asking for. Where does it want us to let go? Okay. It's going to mess with the ego. The ego is very strong right now. It wants what it wants. Challenge it. We have to challenge it. Okay. I'm in the same boat you are. I'm working with my ego every day, challenging it. Okay, because I have to do the work too. The only way I'm gonna keep moving higher, staying in that higher placement, is to continue to challenge myself, to continue to show up and question the things that don't feel like they're in line alignment for me anymore. Okay. So it's gonna make you question who you are, question why you keep doing the things you're doing. Maybe you do something, then as you're driving home, you get frustrated with it. You're grumpy, you're this, you're that. And then you say to yourself, why am I doing this? That's a moment for you to catch yourself and go, yeah, why am I doing this? Right? Am I really here for this or am I here for something else? Okay. Virgo, it's all about health. So health is going to become important. Okay. And it might ping something health-wise for us. Virgo is also about service, right? Who are you here to serve? Who are we here to serve? First and foremost, we're here to serve ourselves as our creator, as our source, right? And then we assist and support others. Fill your cup first. Don't deplete yourself, and then you can fill others or help others. Okay. So, grounding in from the soul's point, what we came here to do is going to be important, but we're not going to know what that is if we're in the way, if we're in resistance to anything that's taking place. The soul is going to be. It's going to get louder. So you're going to be able to start to realize your soul is speaking to you. Pay attention to your emotional states, okay? Especially when you feel good or you feel content or you feel fulfilled, that's a feeling of the soul. This eclipse in Virgo is here to rewire us. It's asking us to look at what we're still refusing to let go of. Maybe there's, somebody in your life that is just draining to you. And when they call, it's like, oh my God, I can't take it anymore. Okay, gotta let them go, right? But maybe it's a battle because it feels hard, you don't want to. This is someone you've known for 40 or 50 years, whatever. Work with that energy, right? Maybe it's something that we're still identifying with that is not working or has never worked that we're still doing because it's all we know. Start to see, hey, it's not working. It's never worked. Doesn't feel good when I do it. Why do it? Right? I have to change this. And be accountable to it. Where are we still playing out to an audience or for an audience and not for ourselves? So, where are we still trying to, look the part for other people, but it's costing us in the end, right? We're still trying to maintain that persona, but at the end of the day, we're sacrificing ourselves to do it. Where might we be carrying the burdens of others that are not our burdens to carry? I see that a lot with work environments where we feel like we have to carry the load. But it's not really our responsibility. Or maybe we work for somebody that has a business and their expectation for us to show up at certain times is unreasonable because we've crossed boundaries and have become a little too friendly. right? Things like that. Or we're a caregiver to someone and cross the boundaries, and now the expectations are a little too high. Or family members. Okay, boundaries are definitely going to be a big one. This moon, this Virgo eclipse can bring in the dark night of the ego, which will require us at that point then to move our soul into place, right? We could see the fall of the ego. We have always said the dark night of the soul, but really it's the dark night of the ego, right? And then we have to move that soul energy into place in order to be able to step up into the next highest version of ourselves. But seeing it is going to be the tricky part. So,
I'm still magnified. But anyway, I was just, it's maybe kind of a question, maybe kind of a something I've been experiencing. And I've been experiencing a lot of multidimensionality lately where I can see through different timelines and see myself. Well, I'll give an example. So this woman, the astrologer I was going to meet with, I thought it was kind of magical how I met with her. Wasn't sure if she was really the one that I wanted to meet with. And I could see the two timelines. It's like, well, I could say yes or I could say no. And it's like that, how can I put this? Like one of those trees, decision trees,
Oh, yeah.
ever drawn one. And it's like, if you go this way, then you'll have those experiences. And if you go that way, you'll have those experiences. And it's like, it really doesn't matter anymore. Like, I can play with it. And as I'm experiencing it, my heart will tell me if I can shift timelines. And it's like really easy to do that. So it's like, well, I can play out these different timelines. Like one thing, well, there was a payment issue with her, and now she wants to meet at a time when I'm just like waking up, and I'm like, well, I could say no, it's not convenient. Or I could release that program of needing things to be at a certain time.
Perfect.
So I don't know. I'm just like really enjoying playing with the timelines and seeing where they lead and seeing where my ego is in the way. And then like shifting, if that makes sense.
And also, there's another piece here too to see if this is really in alignment for you, because it's also about her limitations and her restrictions, right? At not being able to meet you where maybe you need her to meet you with the work.
And like I'm starting to recognize that, and it's like I'm starting to recognize where I'm playing a part for somebody. It's like super cool because it's like I can lovingly be the bully in that person's life because that's not the energy I'm holding. I'm holding the energy of love and compassion, but to them, I'm holding the energy of a bully because that's what they're holding. Anyway, it's super cool.
Yeah, it's resistance. I would call it resistance energy. And it's really funny because when I first engaged with my teacher in Hawaii, Lisa, she would talk about this all the time. And she said, if you're in your own service business, she said, you better get used to making yourself available at all different times, right? Because you may have clients in all different parts of the world, which I can tell you on any given time when we were on the call, she had a call like this, but she had it once a month. And there would be people from all different places in the world, all different time zones and everything. And she would say that all the time. She was like, you're going to have to avail yourself. You're the one in service. Avail yourself to someone else in order to meet them where they are in their time zone. So I find it interesting that you're engaging with this person who is looking to provide a service and not willing to be more flexible in providing the service to you when you're paying her for the service.
I know, I think it's just so funny. And I'm seeing this in all these businesses that I'm interacting with. It's like, well, I don't do that. I wouldn't do that. And then I get to choose the way I'm doing it. And it's like, I much prefer that.
Yeah, well, I think it's also an opportunity to look at the timelines, right, which you're doing and you're doing a good job with, but to see does a reading with this person really serve at this time? Like it, in other words, is this highly aligned with my soul in this moment, right? And really sit with that and feel into what the answer is on that. Because maybe you're playing this out in order to experience the idea of resistance or another resistance, another's resistance, which could also be a form of rejection. Remember, I talked about that at the beginning, right? As one of the journaling prompts, when I talked about like the different aspects, is there, something in a relationship? Is it abandonment? Is, and here you have someone who's in resistance to being of service in the light in a way that you would. They're reflecting that back to you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I feel like it's not in alignment, but I'm still open to playing out part of this and learning from the experience.
Well, as long as you feel like you're going to gain something from it, then go ahead and do it. But I'm just going to tell you from the work side of the fence, once you see the nature of what is playing out, we sever the timeline and we do not engage. Right? Because what this is asking you for is engaging with her, lower timeline, ego distortion, right? Not engaging with her, higher timeline, heart centric, soul driven. Because it's as if what you're not, the thing that you have not, or maybe you have, and I just didn't pick that up, is what I'm feeling like you haven't gotten yet is that there's a clear message here that's your soul is letting you know that you really don't need this from her. It's an opportunity to play out the karma. Remember, I keep saying that throughout the talk. We're going to be playing karma with people. That is all I believe this to be is karma that you're playing out with her.
Yeah.
Maybe in another lifetime, you rejected her when you couldn't accommodate her. And now in this lifetime, it doesn't have to be big stuff, guys. It does not have to be big stuff. It can be small little situations, just like Sue is experiencing. But this is a karmic clearing. If Sue chooses not to engage, she's clearing the karmic residue of the connection with this soul that you're engaging with. Does that make sense?
Explaining that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for sharing that. And then everybody can really get an idea of what the work looks like. And like I said, it doesn't have to be these big. It doesn't have to be like the breakup of a marriage, right? Sometimes it could be something so small and so simple, just like that, that we're not seeing. We're not understanding that this is karmic residue that has to be cleared away. And by us choosing not to engage, we say, oh no, I get it. I see it. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to play this game with you. But I don't need to take it to the next level because I got it.
And maybe like it's possible that, how do I word this? It's like gotten used to playing out the karma. Like it was something that we did
Which
for a
is
long
why,
time.
yeah, which is why you're not seeing it now. So you're not recognizing it as karma now because you're so used to playing it out. We're so used to being rejected. We're so used to being abandoned. We're so used to being betrayed. You see what I'm saying? That's why this is important, so that we're not feeding that timeline.
And I feel like it's my discernment of what is service, what I enjoy as service, and what is karma playing out, if that makes sense.
This is a karmic timeline. Yeah, see it for what it is. No harm, no foul, no judgments. It is for the purpose of you taking that next step up.
Cool. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you. Liz?
So I have a question. What effect would this have on people who are stuck in 3D or negative or playing the karma? Would this rapid advance consciousness affect them or no?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Because the more we play in a karmic environment, the more we're willing to play that out and be in resistance to letting go, which is what I'm suggesting Sue does here. Let go. You don't need this, right? But sometimes it's the ego battle. We don't want to give it up. We don't want to let it go. We want it our way. We're going to fight it until we get it our way. That ends up making the body ill. And because we're in Virgo energy, it's very possible that we can make ourselves sick. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. And unfortunately, we're not here to drag everybody kicking and screaming behind us. We're not here for that, right? We're here to honor our soul's journey and, do what we're here to do to advance ourselves. I mean, I was having a conversation with myself probably last Friday. And then I was going to the grocery store. I was in the grocery store. And the conversation I had before I got to the grocery store was that there, and I forget what it was that happened. It was something that happened. And I know what it was. Lasagna has a habit of laying like in precarious positions right in front of me, surrounding me, whatever. And I've become very, very aware that I have to constantly look down at my feet to make sure I'm not stepping on him, right? Because I could be cooking and like he'll take up a spot right under the stove or right under my feet, or and I'll go to turn to the left and take a step and he's there. And When I first got here, I tripped twice, caught myself, but there was moments where I thought, like, if I wasn't as agile as I am, I probably would have either fallen flat on my face or landed on my back or my head or something, And so I've become very aware of that. And it's made me very aware of staying agile and staying limber and sometimes if I don't, I'm here alone. So sometimes if I don't lock the bathroom door when I go in to take a shower, I'll come out and he's laying on the bath mat in front of the shower. And then I can't get out of the shower and I have to yell at him 1,000 times to get up and move, which doesn't work. And so, getting out of the shower, I've learned how to be very, sleuth-like in getting out of the shower. And so these conversations were in my head last Friday. I don't know what happened, but it must have triggered some. And I go to the grocery store, and as I'm driving there, I'm having this conversation with myself that, I am really very agile, flexible, in, good shape, blah, 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 on and on. And I'm going to live to be at least 144, right? Like, this is my thing. And I say this all the time, like, I'm going to be 144. And then, of course, there's that little soul voice that goes, well, why wouldn't you want to be 244 then? Like, it's a joke, it's a game, right? But it keeps me in that mindset of being young. So I'm down the dog food aisle, I'm getting cat food for Bella, and there's this woman in a wheelchair. Not a wheelchair, but one of those driver wheelchairs that the grocery stores have, and she's got her aide with her and her aide is getting stuff. And she's in the chair, following the aide in the chair. And I was standing looking at the cat food and I hear her say that, now, mind you, she's my age. And I hear her say, well, he expects me to clean the kitty litter box. And I told him, at my age, I've got better things to do with my life than clean that kitty litter box and blah, blah, blah. And she went on and on and on and on. And my mind, because my mind doesn't go to the negative, like, yeah, I hate cleaning the kitty litter box too. Like, I did not think that, right? My mind all of a sudden said, boy, you know what? What a blessing if she could clean the kitty litter box every day, because then maybe she wouldn't be sitting in that chair wheeling around the grocery store if she used her physical body for something, right? And so, because then she was saying something about, I'm not being lazy or whatever, but I just like the measure of convenience. And I thought, she probably could walk. She's just in the chair because she doesn't want to walk through the store. It's kind of a funny thing, But I thought, how funny was that, that I encountered her in my journey to the grocery store? Because, here I was focusing myself on the higher timeline and the expression of my own youth. And here was someone challenging that thought. And instead of my ego jumping in and siding with her or going, like, yeah, I hate cleaning the kitty litter box too, I was like, thank God I can clean the kitty litter box and bend over and scoop the stuff out. It's just a different mindset, right? So we have to be willing to have that mindset. We have to be willing to have those other conversations, as opposed to the constant negative repetition of the lower level influences. Okay, because life is only a challenge or difficult if you allow it to be. And it's because our perspective on what is in the toilet, because we're allowing things that are not soul aligned to connect with us or impact with us in our life. Does that help, Liz? Yeah, because we really want to make sure that, we're operating from our highest place within us. Any other questions before? We move on? No? Okay. I only have a little bit left, I think. Let's see, where am I? So we want to make sure that we're following our bliss, right? And we're in a journey of the soul. What is really speaking to us? What is connecting with us? What's making us happy, right? What's making us feel joy? That's what really we want to be looking at. Virgo is the earth priestess, right? So it wants us to get soul aligned. It wants us to connect with the earth. It wants us to be grounded and rooted in our earth essence, in our, God goddess state of being. We don't just talk it, we actually live it. We are the embodiment of it. And that is what's important right now. Okay. So there is going to be heaviness with this energy the next couple of months. One of the reasons for that is at 29 degrees, Virgo is at its end point, right? It's in its culminations. It's wrapping up probably since 2006, okay? But definitely wrapping up this last year back to September of 2024. And right now it's in opposition, so there's tension to the planet Saturn, which is in 28 degrees. And Saturn is karma, right? It's father time. It's like Mr. Miyagi, right? I heard an astrologer say that once a long time ago. Saturn is the planet of lessons, it's the taskmaster. Remember Mr. Miyagi? Wax on, wax off, right? Wax on, wax off. And of course, the kid thought that, this is pointless. What am I doing? But then when Mr. Miyagi said, well, you're gonna put it to, to use as a karate move, and he could see, oh, I had already trained my arms to move in those directions. That's Saturn. It wants us to prepare. It wants us to be prepared. It wants structure. Okay. So it's in opposition right now. And it's like, if you're not getting your shit right, man, you're going to feel this. It's going to feel uncomfortable. So we have to make sure we're doing what we need to do. One of the things we need to do is be so present. We're seeing everything that we're settling for. No more settling. No more playing small. No more accepting things that don't make us feel good. Okay. We're right on time for this change. It is destiny. It is fated. It is karmic in nature. It's asking us to resolve what needs to resolved. If there are health issues coming up, resolve them, feel into them, sit and meditate with them, talk to them. What is going on? How am I feeling? Right today, I was meditating and I said, show me, what do I need to know? And they showed me myself as a child learning to walk. And I took a step, and just like a child would, I fell forward onto my hands. And then I stayed there for a second, and then I pushed myself back up, and I took a couple of steps, and then I fell back down again onto my hands. And then I pushed myself back up, and I took a couple of steps, and I said, really? Is this what we're in for? We're in for a couple of steps forward, and then we're gonna be in a holding pattern for a second, right? And then we're gonna, so it's how we're gonna move forward. It's not gonna, we're not gonna move forward in leaps and bounds because we have stuff we have to resolve. But if we know that ahead of time, we can be okay with taking the baby steps, with doing this a step at a time, right? And Saturn is the taskmaster who wants to deliver the lessons. And it expects us to be in our mastery. You know, self-mastery. There was a time that was all I wrote about. If you go back to old blogs of mine, self-mastery, self-empowerment. Now is that time. We're in a time of self-mastery. So, are we going to get it right away? Is it going to be swift and painless? No. Are we going to take a couple of bumps on the noggin? Probably so. But it's a training period, right? It's like we have our little training wheels on. We're learning how to walk through new energy right now. And that's okay. Next, after this, we have the impact of this moon. Yes, it's an eclipse, it's a solar eclipse, but it's also a new moon. So let's talk about the new moon aspect of this moon for just a second. The new moon, new moons, all new moons are about new beginnings, okay? New moons line us up with forward momentum, right? We need to pay attention to what it is that's calling us forward. What are we looking towards? Is there something that we're wanting to create? Is there something that we're wanting to experience? Put it into forward motion because the new moon energy, even though this is an eclipse, can bring us there. Maybe you want better health. This is definitely the moon for that. If you're not focused on your health and you're not paying attention and you're asleep at the wheel, it can make health concerns that much worse. Okay. I was working with somebody the other day. She reached out to me, messaged me, and said, "Oh my God, there might be this, that, or a third. The doctor thinks it could be something else." And I said, "Yeah, it's probably a cyst." Not making light of it, but just reading into the energy of what I felt in her body. And she said, "I don't know, the doctor's really certain." I said, "Well, you have a choice. You want to take it in and make it that? You can do that. I don't want you to do that, but if you want to do that, you can do that." And she said, "No, I don't want to do that." And I said, "Well, then don't take it in." I was like, "Imagine that it's a cyst and it's going to be easy to rectify, and your body's going to be happy to absolve it because now that you know and you're going to shift it, your body can move on from it, right? Or resolve it in some way, shape, or form." So the next day, she gets in touch with me and said, had my doctor's appointment. Guess what? It's only a cyst. And it's not that big a deal. And it's going to be okay. And I'm going to be able to figure the rest of it out, right? Why do we want to go to the negative first? It's a habit. We're programmed that way. We don't know any better. We don't know any different. Okay? We have to break the habit. I think Dr. Joe Dispenza said it best, break the habit of being yourself. Right? We have to unbecome who we are to become somebody else, to become this superhuman force that can shift whatever is presenting in our reality, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Right? So, with this new beginning, this new moon, what can we do to create destiny that we desire? Right? Whether it's moving someplace really amazing or bringing in a relationship, we have to let go of the idea that there's nobody out there for us, that everybody out there sucks, that nobody can live up to our expectation, right? Because that again is resistance in the field. If you want to heal, don't say healing is too hard, that, you know, oh, I wake up, it's so hard, it's this or that. That's resistance. Don't do that, right? A new job. Oh, I'm not young anymore, or there's so many people out there better trained. Don't do that. Again, that's resistance. We put resistance in the field. We're so trained to do that. That's the first place we go, right? Because all we know is the self beat down. We don't want to do that. So this requires pure consciousness, pure presence. See everything. See everything that you're saying. See everything that you're thinking. See it all. Because we're birthing a new soul in this new reality. Okay. Now, something that we have that's assisting and supporting us at this time is there's a lot of dark goddess energy coming up. And I know we don't really talk about any of this in this community, but I have a very prominent placement with Black Moon Lilith, which, is in my 10th house of service. And I think she's like one of the hardest dark goddesses, but that's just me. And so we have this thing right now happening with this solar eclipse and two of the dark goddesses pushing us forward. We have Hecate, conjunct Black Moon Lilith. Now, let me explain that. Hecate is the queen of the witches, right? So this is the wound of the witch wound that we're healing, right? With regard to not being seen, not being enough, not being able to heal, being criticized, all of that stuff, right? She's also the oracle. She's a visionary, gives us the power to vision for ourselves, vision quest, right? And she helps us when we're in a crossroad. She helps us see the reality of where we are. Okay. And so she's working with Black Moon Lilith, and we all have these goddesses in our chart somewhere, right? Black Moon Lilith, who is feminine power, and it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, it puts you in that position of the divine feminine balancing the masculine. Because remember, we're very masculine heavy. That's why we're so negative about ourselves, right? We have to bring in more of that divine feminine, that loving side of ourselves. And so Black Moon Lilith is here pointing us to the highest path forward. She's about independence, rebellion. She's one to re reject the oppressive systems that want to keep us stuck, that want to keep us trapped within ourselves, right? The prisons of the mind, not just the outer reality prisons. She is about self-sovereignty and helps us embrace free will and establish healthy boundaries, which I think we all need, right? And this allows us to step up into our truth, even if there is a personal cause, because we want to champion ourselves. We want to champion the soul self. Okay. This is big, big, big energy pushing us forward. Big energy. And guess what? We will figure it out. We'll figure it out. We're gonna see clearly where the path is pointing to us, right? It just requires presence. It requires us paying attention to the words that we speak, the thoughts that we think, paying attention to what makes us happy, what doesn't fit us anymore, what feels conflicting, so that we can move into more of our mastery. We can move into more of our soul self. In the past, whenever we talked about soul purpose, and I think I might even have a video of it on YouTube, it's not about finding your soul purpose. We can't go out and look for it. It does not work. We have to align with the soul, and then we step into the soul's purpose, right? Even me, I know this has been my soul's purpose for the last how many ever years since I became a Reiki practitioner and went to nutrition school back in 2004. But it's changing in some way. Do I have all the answers right now? No, and that's okay because I know that I don't have to have all the answers because this is not over, it's not finished yet. Probably won't be finished until 2027. There's a lot of work left to do, right? But the idea is to have a sense of knowing that something is shifting or changing And it's okay. It's not scary. It's not uncomfortable. It's just unclear. And that's okay. And that is where we all need to be. That it's okay for us to not know exactly. It's okay for us to not understand where we're supposed to be headed yet. The most important part of the next leg of our journey, the next how many months till the end of the year, as we head into March, is on March of 2026 is another big turning point. We have more big eclipse energy coming in March, okay? More shifting. The most important part right now is for us to absolutely understand that this is not a race to get any place. It's an activation to higher consciousness. It's our evolutionary path that we are stepping onto. It's where all timelines are converging and merging into one. And if you remember going back to 2020, we talked about that so many times in so many gatherings, all timelines converging and moving into one, bringing us into our true North Node, our true destiny. Because it's calling us forward. All the work we've been doing up until now gets us to this point, takes us to this point, because it's all about being present and paying attention to the words we're speaking and the thoughts that we're having. So, I can't hear you. Can you unmute? Can I unmute?
It's interesting what you said about the North Node because Terry and I were looking at our astrocartography charts a little while ago, and his North Node goes right through Saskatoon, where we've been for almost 40 years.
Okay.
And now he's feeling like a change is coming, so it's like he's getting the opposite.
Okay.
So that's kind of interesting.
Okay. Who's doing the astrocartography? Did somebody show you how to do that, or did you take a
No,
program?
did it. This was a few years ago. Her name is Michelle Karen.
Okay. I'm trying to think of how to say this because I feel like, I did astrocartography before I moved to Florida just to check. And everything said, don't move there. That's not a good place for you. You're on your Pluto line. Don't do that. That's like suicide, right? You don't want to be on your Pluto line. And then my Jupiter line runs through it. So whatever Pluto, excuse me, identifies as an area of concern, my Jupiter line is going to magnify it and make it like 10,000 times bigger. So I don't have a choice but to resolve it, And so I think my feelings and my thoughts and my ideas concerning astrocartography are to the side right now, because I feel like I'm not really certain. I know there's an astrologer that created the idea of astrocartography, but I'm not 100% certain of the way it's being read. And so what I want to say is I would put less money on astrocartography and put more money on allowing the universe to move you wherever it pulls you to. Like it pulled me here. I had no choice. You can ask Loretta. We were looking. Hanice was looking for places for me. I wanted to stay in New York so that I was still in the art vibe and the whole nine yards. And the universe was like, nope. It was like, I was holding on to the door jamb and the universe had my legs and my body was, kind of like out straight. I'm like, no, I don't want to go. And the universe is like, let go. And I'm like, no, I don't want to let go. Universe, let go. I let go when I came here because it was the only pathway that was working out. It was the only one. I mean, it was easy peasy getting here, Now, that's not to say that there weren't a couple of moments, that I had to work through, that and for Joe too, that had to be worked through or navigated or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's very aligned. It feels very aligned. I say.
Mastery now is like we used to use some of these tools because we weren't as conscious, and now maybe the mastery and now it's like I'm also doing this with someone else in my life, and it's like, oh my goodness.
That's why when I bring you the information on on like the moons and stuff like that, the shifts that are taking place and whatnot, and I'm actually pointing to planetary shifts and stuff like that. I'm doing that because you may be hearing stuff from, other astrologers, not other astrologers. I'm not an astrologer. Let me correct that. Sometimes I feel like it might be. Probably in many, many lifetimes, I've been an astrologer, which is why I just innately understand it. But it's one of the reasons I bring it to you in this way because I want you to understand the essence of the energies, not just from an astrological perspective, but from the nature of the energies, so that everyone can have an idea. It's why I throw in those journal points and ask you to just sit and journal on those prompts, because this is the energy that can really move mountains. And once we understand that fear is not real, and the only reason that we hold fear is because we've grown up with the idea that we have to be intimidated by uncertainty, right? But what if we were so what if we were so strong in our conviction that we didn't let uncertainty factor in and we just kept the path of least resistance? Life would, be all uphill mostly, right? We wouldn't have challenges. But it's not like that. Because we were born and bred and raised and trained to hold fear. So, this is such a powerful time that we're in. And whereas, I could go through my YouTube feed in any given moment, and all I'm seeing is a lot of stuff pointing to, outrageousness and fear. And I think, I don't know, I haven't seen this person in like years, but there was a video popping up from Teal Swan that said, like, this is, be prepared. It's going to be catastrophic or something like that. And I'm like, can we do any better and not look for clickbait? Like, can't we do any better than that? Because that doesn't work anymore. That, people that are are using that as their placard for their YouTube video, it's not going to work anymore because people are going to get wise to that. And if that's all you know, that's what I was talking about earlier in the class, where we're following the same programs and the same ideologies and the same mappings, and we're following the masses. Why? It doesn't work anymore. Stop doing that. And what side do you want to be on? Do you want to be on the side that's creating fear, the fear porn, to generate your likes? Or do you want to be on the side that's creating valuable information that's actually helping people move forward in some way, shape, or form, that's helping them find value in themselves and in their lives, that's helping them connect to their soul in order to excavate their soul purpose, because it can't be chased. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, this is a really powerful time. And I think it, you know, we have to be very, 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 very conscious of where we're putting our attention. This is it. There is no more pause point. This is it. You know, this is now or never energy, right? This is it. So I feel like it's very important for us to have clarity on what is presenting, what's wanted from us right now. Stop watching the outer reality. We know what happened. It's very sad. Nobody should die. I don't care who it is. Nobody should get assassinated. I don't care who the person is, right? And yet at the same time, it's distracting us. It's taking our attention away from being present for ourselves. So this is very, very important for us to have an awareness to. We have to be present here. These energies are only going to get higher. They're going to be more evolutionary, right? I heard an astrologer mention, you know, where Aries, when Saturn and Neptune go into Aries, it brings us back to when the Civil War started. It's the same energies as the Civil War. Now, they can be a catalyst for that conversation and say, this is Civil War energy, and then get everybody thinking we're going to have a Civil War, which is not going to happen, right? Or we can look at it like, yeah, the Civil War is inside, because the Civil War was North against South, right? It was still the game of separation. Are we still playing that? No, that's what we're here to heal. That's the healing point that we're in now. This is where the separation ends. That's why there are no good players. There's no good guys and no bad guys. It's just people playing a role for us so that we can continue to choose a higher pathway and see and not choose separation. So, I hope that makes sense. Does anybody have any questions before we go? Because I think we're going to end here. We're over. No? That okay. So that's good. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining tonight. I really appreciate you tuning in. So good having your energy to connect with. And the next recording will be posted next. Hopefully next Wednesday. If it doesn't get posted Wednesday, it'll definitely be posted Thursday. Okay. So there'll be another recording next week. All right. And for those of you celebrating the Jewish holiday, I think it's Rosh Hashanah. Is that what it is? Enjoy. All right. And have a wonderful whatever it is that you're going to be doing this week and this weekend. I love you so much. I look forward to connecting again with you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.